everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I'm so excited today to have a special guest. I love interviewing podcasters, and it was a real treat today to be able to have Lori Stark here from a very Hallmark Christmas podcast. And I'm Rachel, and Lori's here. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's really fun to be in the guest seat for once.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is fun to talk to other podcasters. It's like we're in this weird sort of little, like only we understand.
Yeah.
It's like some kind of support group.
Yes, absolutely.
Like when we had the Bubbly Sesh Girls on, it was just kind of like, it was just like there's immediate connection.
Yeah, well, there's a bond we all have. It's like it could be unspoken, but it's
That's
there.
Right. That's right. That's very funny. Well, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about what you do on your podcast.
Sure. So yeah, I'm Lori Stark. I host with my husband the podcast called A Very Hallmark Christmas. We started it at the beginning of the holiday season last year. And it was exhausting, but we did enjoy it, and we decided to try to do it through this year. But it was, I just don't think the movies during the year have the same amount of charm, and it was much more difficult to get through them. But we started up again with this holiday season. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, so Rob has some pretty bad eye problems, and he had to, he was already not seeing great to begin with, and then he had to have some emergency surgery a couple weeks ago. So he kind of had to tap out about 2/3 of the way through the season. But I have like a ton of great friends and coworkers that were willing to watch what these, I mean, a lot, most people that I have on haven't watched Hallmark movies before. So I was really lucky to have people who were like, okay, I'll watch a Hallmark movie and I'll talk with you about it for an hour. So it's been really fun.
I can very much relate to what you're experiencing because Amber, she got a new job at the beginning of December. Mm-hmm. And so it was very difficult for her to be on the podcast as much as she would like. Yeah. And so I was just so blessed and fortunate to have just this amazing group of co-hosts that, that were just incredible. And I just can't say how much I'm grateful. Yeah. I am, because I could not have done it even close. Right. I mean, I can't do it by myself. Like what, you know, that's just exactly. Like posting a review. That's not a podcast.
Right. Exactly.
And yeah,
it's overwhelming. It was really overwhelming going into those last, mm-hmm. like however many I had, like nine or so. I was just like, I've got to round up people. And I have, like I said, I have great friends that were willing to do it, but you know, it was tough. So
I liked how you had people that were fresh. Like most of the people I had were pretty, if you can call them Hallmark veterans, they kind of were Hallmark veterans. But it's an interesting experience to throw somebody into the
yeah. Bowl. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's fun because each time, I mean, it's different because you have to establish a different sort of conversational tone, I guess, or, you know, your banner or whatever is different with every person. So, you know, Rob and I mean, we've been together forever. So even just going into it, we know how we're going to be, but then like every new person, you sort of have to see how you're going to play off of each other. Mm-hmm. And that was like a little difficult sometimes, but it was still really fun.
Yeah, it's really true. Yeah. I mean, I think that's true in life. Like, you know, I have different friends who I'm sort of more academic in tone, you know, kind of a feel. We have these great thoughtful discussions. Then I have other friends who sort of bring out more of a silly side.
Right.
You know, you kind of thing. I feel like that's what happens. Like definitely, not that Amber and I don't sometimes have deep, thoughtful conversations. We certainly do, but she definitely brings out sort of my silly side.
Yeah.
She gets me laughing, and which is really great.
Yeah.
And so it's just this ever evolving thing. I mean, I really admired you guys who did podcasts on single movies. Like we've rarely done that. We did it for the When Calls the Heart movie.
Yeah.
But most of the time we end up grouping them. Like we'll have our week special. Mm-hmm. We'll have, cause I just feel like, is there enough meat on the bones for these movies to So, and just so many, like the bubbly sesh doing every single movie. Mm-hmm. I just, wow, that blew me away.
Well, but you know, and I don't know that doing every, like the way we do it, I don't even know that that's necessarily better, because it's like, a lot of times I think our episodes should be shorter. Like when I'm a person that listens to podcasts, like especially if we're gonna do them on like, you know, one movie. Like when I listen to podcasts, I like the ones I enjoy the most are like, you know, 35 or 40 minutes. So like when we're doing an hour, like I, you know, maybe we should be like cramming, you know, a couple of movies in there. So
yeah, we do have a problem sometimes with us being a little bit too long, but like oddly enough, our episode with it was week mm-hmm. two of Christmas, where we just like, we're just Gabby Gooses with our co-host. Amber was mm-hmm. on that one, and we were with Best Forever, Lisa from Best Forever's podcast, who's amazing. Mm-hmm. But we were just having so much fun and just talking. That was the week where there was the Cookie Crawl movie, which was hilarious for us. We love talking about that movie.
Yeah.
And anyway, we ended up going almost 2 hours that episode. And oddly enough, I was just like, forget it. I'm just posting it. Whatever.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, number one, the most listens we've ever had.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that surprising?
Yeah. That's great though.
And so I kind of think maybe there's some truth to like, yeah, try to like, you don't want to be exorbitantly long, but if it feels sort of natural and, then, you know, kind of go with
it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to describe it. And anyway, it's an ever evolving process. So, you know, learning that, cause I mean, that's the thing that's been crazy about my whole career, whether it's been, I've been a blogger for 10 years. I've been a YouTuber / podcaster for 4. Mm-hmm. I'm all that stuff. I have learned everything on my own.
Yeah.
You know, I learned how to edit on my own. I learned how to, and so, you know, it's just, that's part of the fun of it to me is the ever evolving learning experience. And I can listen to podcasts from 3 years ago on my other channel mm-hmm. and be like, because I would, first I started doing Google Hangouts and there wasn't any editing at all.
Right.
And that was rough. And anyway, but I can listen to them and I'm like, ew, man, I was not great. But it's all part of the fun of it to me is continually learning and, you know, learning how to do the thumbnails better and learning how to do Photoshop better. And just all of that whole process is fun to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a podcast before a very Hallmark Christmas with a friend who is in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm from Kentucky originally, and I moved over to West Virginia, where I'm at now. And we did this like weekly podcast where it was just kind of like us catching up with each other. And like eventually, it was just too hard for us to sustain. And but that's kind of like how I learned. And I'm still not like great. Like I can, you know, like I don't do. Like I don't do much editing unless it's 100% necessary. So like, I just like, I use Audacity and like, I just trim stuff, like make sure the intro music is on there. You know, if Rob occasionally throws in some foul language and we try to not, we curse, but we try not to use like super foul language, I guess. So I'll have to go find that and edit it out. But other than that, like, it's just like I just take it and rip it and put it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'd love to get to the point where I can, you know, like have a professional editor and I can just send it off to them and it'll be fantastic. but for now, you just keep plugging away and people seem to be enjoying it and that makes me happy.
Yeah.
And, it's just a lot of fun. And I think that there's really, it's interesting, something like Hallmark. I think that there is room for everyone at the table. Like, I feel like we all kind of are different.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have kind of unique perspectives, and
it's really
interesting. I was curious for you that you've gotten Rob to be involved,
mm-hmm.
and at least your initial podcast, he was not into Hallmark at all. And I'm curious to know, like, how did you get him to? Like, is he just up for kind of whatever projects you're interested in, or how did you get him involved in the podcast?
how did I, you know, capture him and cage him into this project? Perfect. So I had this, like, I mean, a little bit of backstory. Like, I had a pretty terrible 2017. And I, you know, I think I was like sitting at work one day, I was like super early, I had so much to do. And I saw this Entertainment Weekly article that was like, there are going to be more Hallmark holiday movies this year than ever. And my other podcast had just ended, and I really did miss having a project, but I didn't know how to do something sustainable with someone. And I knew Rob was kind of like feeling bad for me. And so I definitely took advantage of him. And I like sent him an email, like, cause he was like sleeping for another, it was like 6 a.m. He was still sleeping. I sent him an email and I just said, we should do a podcast about that. And he was like, okay, we'll give it a try. And then he got into it, and you know, I think he might have thought for a bit like, oh, we'll never actually do it. But once I sat down, I was like writing stuff out and charting the movies and the dates, he was like, okay, I guess we're in it.
Yeah, because I was reading that article that you were in USA Today. Mm-hmm. And they were saying in there that 34 million men watched Hallmark in 2017, and I'm sure it's much higher now. And yeah, so it's interesting that, because that's been surprising, as because you expect women to enjoy Hallmark movies, but it has been interesting to see that there is that contingent of men that enjoy the Hallmark movies, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, like, I've had a couple of couples on the podcast this year, and I think it's like the women had started watching the movies and their husbands might have, you know, sort of gotten into them with them. But I've had a couple of just like dudes on the podcast who were like into Hallmark, and you know, I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. And why do you think that Hallmark is having such success right now? What's the appeal for you?
In general? You know, I think it's in something that we talk about some of the podcasts, like, it's just sort of like comfort food. I mean, with the Hallmark movies, particularly with the Hallmark channel, a little bit more so than Hallmark movies and mysteries, like, you know exactly what you're going to get. Like, they can mix it up. Like, but it's going to hit the same sort of beats. Like, you know, sometimes I'll work when we're doing the podcast, sometimes I'll have like a 10 or 12 hour day at work, and I'll be like, oh, there's no way I can get through this movie. But then I'll sit down and I'll be like, you know, it's kind of comforting knowing what's coming next. You know, the couple's going to get together in the end, you know, whatever the drama is not going to be that high stakes. So I just think, you know, it's like a nice little thing that people get into around the holidays, which can be a stressful time.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah, I think a big part of it personally is that that very little, even though I said that it's had this appeal for men, very little in our society is made particularly to cater to women as far as media. You know, there used to be, like, women had their soaps and they could watch them, and that was their, like, they knew they were silly, they knew they were stupid, but they just enjoyed them, and they were sort of fantasy for women. And now soaps are pretty much gone. Like, there's a couple still going, but for the most part, some of that and a lot of escapism for women is very ridiculed. And not that Hallmark isn't ridiculed, but and I mean, until Crazy Rich Asians, there was a long time between like a romantic comedy that wasn't super vulgar, super crass, you know, like,
right,
that, you know, it was all sort of the Amy Schumer,
Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow, yeah, that's the name. Yeah. That was all that kind of romantic comedy for a long time. Yeah. And so there was just like this vacuum of like, I want to have a fantasy. I want to relax. I want to enjoy, you know, something. And there's just, it's like, where else to go? There's just Hallmark. That's it.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they continue, keep that momentum going. Now there's more competition now. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, there's nothing that Hollywood loves more than a success story. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see, you know, we got Netflix making them. We have Lifetime, of course, doing the Christmas and then they have their insane thrillers.
Right. I am. So a lot of people ask me if I've seen the like Netflix or Lifetime ones. And I just can't do it while I'm doing the podcast. Like there's just not enough time. And also I'm just worn out. And so I think, oh, I'll do it. You know, I mean, I don't even know if they keep the Christmas ones on Netflix for a couple months after, but like, I feel like maybe by February I'll be ready.
We'll have a Christmas in February podcast. Yeah. On Lifetime, the thing that they did, I think, better than Hallmark this season was they definitely had more whimsy. Mm-hmm. And which I kind of missed this year. They definitely went Hallmark, aside from Shoe Addicts, was the only one that had a little bit of magic, a little bit of whatever.
Yeah.
They really were just going straight workplace comedy, rom-com.
Right.
Pretty much every movie.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
You know, so, which, you know, some of them, and it's always kind of an interesting experience to me to watch like 15 of the same thing and be like, why does one work and another one doesn't work?
Right.
Like, they're exactly the same ingredients, but yet.
Right. No, I mean, that's absolutely true. It's sometimes, and I never know how much of it is like my mood when I'm watching it or something, but I mean, I think I must attribute a lot of it to the acting generally, but I guess, you know, sometimes it's storyline too.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just a combination, like something like it's Christmas Eve. At least for me, it really worked, mm-hmm. and it was definitely the chemistry of the stars. And mm-hmm. I thought the writing really popped. You know that mm-hmm. that I liked the sort of the meta references to rom coms and the meet mm-hmm. cute, and thought that she did a really good job with that script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that's one of like I have. They're all like they're all just like in one clump in my head right now. But that one I do remember specifically, and I remember like Rob particularly enjoyed that, but I liked it. I hadn't I think Leanne Rimes had acted in some stuff. I mean, I remember her as a singer from when I was younger, but I thought she did like quite well in it.
Yeah, me too. And I liked the fact that it wasn't just her singing. Like I was kind of surprised that like other people got full like solos. You know, it wasn't just her, which was interesting.
Right.
Yeah. So that one, I thought that the season for this year really started strong. Mm-hmm. I liked pretty much through Thanksgiving. I was like, wow, this is really good. Like pretty much I've liked. And then for me, then there was a slump.
No, I agree. I concur with that for sure. I mean, I'm trying to, honestly though, like, I feel like I enjoyed the movies from the last holiday season from like, I guess 2017 to 2017. Overall, I feel like I enjoyed them more. Like, I feel like I really like the more bonkers it is, like the more I'm into it. Like that's what keeps me watching. And I don't feel like there was as many like out there bonkers storylines. Like we didn't have an Amnesia movie. Like I love a good Amnesia movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even like we found that the ones like on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries they're more likely to inject an element of, you know, or of like, you know, oh, is Santa real or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even most of them, like they just, I don't know.
No Santa. I mean, except for a little bit in Pemberley Manor.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Like we didn't get like a twinkle in the sky or anything.
And I also thought both of the attempts to do Pride and Prejudice were total failures.
They are. I mean, it's so funny how Hallmark does it because they don't even really try ever. I don't think like they just assign the names.
Yeah.
To people, the storyline is never like anything like, I mean, not that nothing. I can remember, nothing like what actually happens in Pride and Prejudice. You just, they assign the name from it to whatever's in the movie.
Nothing. Like, zero. For instance, in the Pemberley Manor, the mayor was named Wickham and had nothing to do with Wickham. Like,
you're right.
I was just, and like, it wasn't my favorite, but it wasn't a terrible movie, but it was really distracting because I kept waiting for him to behave like Wickham, because why would you give him that name if he's not a scoundrel? Like, what?
Right. And I wonder, I mean, I have thought a little bit about it. I wonder what the, why they keep coming back to Pride and Prejudice. I mean, obviously maybe these movies are doing really good, like just from being tied into Pride and Prejudice. And I sort of understand it because it's kind of like, I guess, the quintessential well-known romantic old-timey novel. But it's, I've seen so many movies, like they have at least one during the year this year, where they just, it's like, they're just like, they advertise it as being tied into Pride and Prejudice, and they just like Darcy, like, you know, for sure there's going to be like a Mr. Darcy in there. But
yeah, because there was the sequel to the Unleash Mr. Darcy, Marrying Mr. Darcy, which is mixed, I would say, but I liked it better than either of these two.
Yeah.
Christmas, personally. but at least that had like the Donovan Darcy in that movie had like some resemblance.
Right,
Darcy, a little bit,
right?
But the idea that you would have Lacey Chabert, all sweetness and everything, try to pretend to be a Darcy character is just absurd on the very front. Like, maybe like you could have Jessica Lowndes play Darcy instead of playing Lizzie,
like someone with someone that is a little bit of an edge to them.
Yeah. I mean,
that's totally true.
Somebody like Allison Sweeney would have done better.
Right.
You know,
or made more sense.
Like that. Yeah.
For sure.
And I mean, the whole movie, Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe, the whole movie was just them planning a party the whole time. And I'm like, since I don't get to go to this party, it's not interesting to me. Why am I? So that was a big miss. I thought this season was the Pride and Prejudice, the Austin.
Yeah.
It was.
I hear you. It was not inspired this year.
No. what would you say was other, like, if you were going to give advice to Hallmark for next year for Christmas, what would you say?
This is something we talk about some, and I obviously there was some improvement this year. Diversity is something they. I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit like comparing Hallmark to content that I watched the rest of the year. Diversity, you know, I think they did sort of like maybe throw out like a little bit of a line to the LGBTQ community. Like, I feel like there were a couple
Christmas.
Right. I feel like there are like a couple of storylines where like, oh, you know, maybe these characters are gay. You know, they're like roommates that have lived together forever. And, you know, I spotted in a lot of the like store windows, we kept seeing in the store windows, like these tiny little pride flag stickers.
Oh, interesting. I didn't notice that.
I missed it the first time. Someone who was a guest on there saw it. And then like, I would notice it. It was at least three movies. So I think it's just, you know, stuff like that. And I'm really like, and it's kind of as a joke when I do it on the podcast, but sort of talking about like the patriarchy, like how much does this movie push back against the patriarchy? And every now and then, actually, you know, you get like what I think is a pretty like complete woman character who, you know, gets to keep her job at the end.
Did you get to see Falling for You?
No.
Oh, it was definitely, it's my second favorite. The whole year. I gave it a perfect score. I loved it.
Yeah.
And not only was it super swoon-worthy with Tyler Hines, who was in Christmas Eve, who I think is the best.
Yeah.
And Taylor Cole, who's almost always pretty modern. I think her characters, even if it's not like the best story, I feel like she does a pretty good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give away spoilers, but I thought that it was very surprising to me. The fact, because you have the character who's tempted by the job offer in the big city, she's going to leave the small town, Right. And, you know, I was just like, what? And, and the fact that he was so, he's very supportive of mm-hmm. her and her mm-hmm. career. And yet he doesn't have to like sacrifice his career. Like they make it work like grownups do, which I really appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing I like to see. And then I wonder if I like reward those movies like a little too much because I'm like, they give me just the smallest thing where I'm like, oh, she like, I'm like, the guy might be moving for her.
That's true that you do. Like there was a lot of people were freaking out because Ethan Hawke wrote this whole thing about how like people give Logan more credit than it's deserved because it's not only a good movie, but it's a good superhero movie because you're comparing it to the rest of the superhero movies. And there is some truth to that. Like when you're talking about, you know, when you're talking about Hallmark, because you have to judge something of what it's trying to be.
Right.
You know,
right.
they're not trying to be Oscar winners. They're just trying to be escapist fantasies, romantic fantasies for women. That's what they're trying to be. Do they succeed in doing it? And so like technically is Falling for You perfect? Of course not. But for me, it just was very surprising and very satisfying and I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. There was one that I thought was pretty good as far as a feminist perspective. This season, I liked Majestic Christmas because I thought, first of all, the dancing scene was just like the best thing to ever exist. But I liked the fact that she was like, they were like responsible humans about working together. Like they had a difference of opinion, but she was like, okay, I've been assigned to work with you. Let's do it. Let's get it done. And I thought their relationship grew or fairly organically.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little bit of a brat at the end, but I thought they kept it as short as possible. And I had just invested enough in her character that I was fine with it. And I thought that one was really, really good. And they did a pretty good, probably the most, I don't want to say the most out of any of the movie. It was one of the better ones, I think, in that.
No, I agree with that. I think what I would probably consider the worst in terms of pushing at the patriarchy, and we had a lot of fun with this movie, it was A Veteran's Christmas. I don't know if you saw that one. But it was just, you know, it was like a horror movie of this woman trapped in this town, like people lying to her to, like when she would try to leave, I mean law enforcement pulling over a bus to stop her from leaving town. It was, you know, it was one of those that like, I mean, we really
a horror movie. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like I mean, we hammed it up a bit on the podcast, but that was one of the movies where I was watching where like my jaw would just drop. I was just like, what is happening right now? But it also sort of ended up being like a favorite because that's one I can say like I can remember the title. Like most of the other ones I'm like, it just has Christmas in it. I don't remember like what it was, but this one, like I specifically remember the title and because it was so horrifying, like it just kept my attention the whole time.
Yeah. It was super sweet. Like even for Hallmark, it was a lot.
Yeah.
But I, you know, those dogs, I mean, they're the cutest dogs.
The dogs were cute. I love the dog's name was Christmas. The thing is I, and the actress, she was really good. And I think maybe that was
good chemistry.
Yeah. I felt like maybe the issue though was that she was like really playing that part, like how someone would play that actually in those circumstances. Yeah. Like, I feel like if, you know, and I don't think I wouldn't say she was bad at all. I thought she was really good, but like, if she seemed a little more like into it, like being in town, I might not have been so like freaked out, but it seemed to me like her eyes were sad a lot. It was just like, oh,
I can see what you mean. Cause they were trying to protect like the wounded soldier, I think a little bit, but not like get too PTSD.
Right.
Another one, this wasn't Christmas, that I thought did like the whole feminist thing really well was Love at First Dance over the summer.
I
liked about it because it had the tricky dynamic of him being engaged and her trying to teach him how to dance or whatever and them falling, which is tricky, but I thought they did a good job balancing that and having them not be like they didn't really fall in love, they were just like obviously attracted to each other, but they didn't, like it was never skeevy in my opinion.
Right
In fact, in that movie they did a good job with, instead of presenting her with You can stay in the country and forget your horrible city life, life, and all of the work that you've done in your career, and be with this man. You know, which is the typical dynamic. But in this case, she had two choices. She could either go. She could either stay in New York and run her ballet studio or a dance studio, which was her choice, or she could do the more ambitious thing and go to London and be a choreographer, which was more risky and was scarier and was also a good choice. And I thought that was very refreshing that that they did that, because that's the way life is. Like, most of the time we're not like, here's happiness and misery. Pick which one you want. Right. Like, most of the time we're like, I don't know which path, which should I take, which will probably both be fun and I'll enjoy it.
Right. And so actually, you know, when we started talking about like the patriarchy a little bit, like I was thinking about that movie, like I couldn't remember all of it or the name of it, but I remembered the London part and like the him showing up, I think, because I remember when we were watching it and, you know, she was like maybe going to the airport or something. And I literally said out loud, I was like, she's not getting on that plane or it's not going to end. And then all of a sudden there's like a scene of her walking, you know, in like however they recreated London. And I was just like, oh my God, this is like, this is huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And in a year where we got something like 7 princess movies from Hallmark and then like multiple from other networks, how refreshing to have a story like this. Not that, I mean, I love a good princess movie when it's executed well, but I don't know. It was just so, it makes all the fairy tale stuff something with a teeny bit more realism. There's a breakup in that movie that I thought was handled so, like, so well. So, it was actually about like 2 friends, you know, realizing that like it wasn't, I don't know. I just thought they nailed it. And then the writer, Nina Weinman, is one of our favorite people, you know, from the podcast, and she did a great job. And so I there's little bits of improvement that I can see. I mean, you don't make, that's the thing when people just like completely write off Hallmark movies. I'm just kind of like, yeah, that's stupid, because you don't make 95 movies a year and have them all be terrible. Like, there's going to be ones that are good, and that, and then there's going to be a lot of terrible ones.
Right. I mean, like, you know, something we kind of, or what I think is a mark of a good Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
I did not mean, I don't know if that was a pun, but that was wordplay and I didn't mean it. but is, you know, I think about like before I started watching these movies, if this were on, like if I just had the Hallmark channel in the background and I sat down and started watching it, and I just like, oh, like I kept watching it, even if I was like cleaning or whatever, like after the commercial break, like I was following it or into it. Like, to me, that is like, you know, a sign that it's a pretty good movie. But you know, it's also, I mean, people don't, you're right. I mean, there's such a huge output of them, like 95 or however many a year. And it's the same with the, like, especially like network television shows. Like they often do like 24 episodes within how many months. And like some episodes of it are great and usual, but some of them are like garbage, you know? I mean, it's just such a tight time frame.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same with feature films. Like there's a lot that are good. And then there's a lot that are terrible, and then there's a lot that are just kind of so, you know, it's an interesting thing. So do you have particular, we call them hall stars on the podcast, do you have particular hall stars that you kind of look forward to seeing their films, seeing their
I have some that have grown on me, and they're, I mean, it's honestly like it's more my fault that these things have all like just congealed together, but someone I noticed, and I had seen her in another movie, I didn't even realize it, but someone we really loved this year was Jen Lilly. I can't remember which movie she was in. But she was also in that movie this summer with Jessica Landis, who I always recognize her because I watched like 90210 when she was
That one wasn't my favorite. I think you either sort of, the summer one, I think you either kind of go into the slapless screwball antics of it. But for me, the thing I didn't like about the movie is I felt like I didn't feel like they were in love at all. Like, so like, I felt like it was more a bet. Like, I bet you, like, I'm going to bet that you'll come or not come. And so there was no trust, like absolutely no trust between the people. And so I'm like, how can I be invested in a love story when they have no trust?
Yeah, it was,
be there.
It was so weird. And I think the thing that, I liked so much about her was that in any other movie, it wasn't that I loved the movie, but in any other movie, like, I would despise her character. Like, she would be villainous to me. And I was like, she's still charming. Like, it's still kind of like, you know, very off-putting that she's just like, I'm planning this wedding, you're gonna be there, whatever. But I was like, oh, you know, she is, she's charming. And I when I saw her in whatever the movie was this year, like, I thought she was great there. We always love, I mean, it's hard not to love Lacey Chabert anytime she shows up.
Jen Lilly, you're absolutely right. It's not only like a really perfect actress for Hallmark. Like, she just nails it. Even if I don't love the movie, her performance is really great. And for the most part, I have actually loved all of her movies. But she's so great. And she's honestly, I mean, they're all wonderful people from all I can tell, but she is just a wonderful human being. Like, unbelievable. She just put out an album and singing, and she does foster care and she's an advocate for that. And she has a ton of causes and she does amazing work. And, but she donated the proceeds from her first single, or a portion of the proceeds or whatever, to get this little boy, I think it was in Africa or something. Anyways, this little boy that she knew, to get him a new heart. And she's just incredible. She's just an incredible person, and everything. She's just really, really good. And her movies last year, she did three movies last year, and they were all exceptional. With director Christy Will Wolfe, who is wonderful, wonderful director. And so, I think what's really one thing that's sort of under appreciated, I think, in Hallmark is they do better than a lot of other networks as far as maybe they're on camera. It doesn't have the diversity as far as people of color and other things, but they are much more of a women-oriented network for sure compared to others as far as writers and some, you know, other talent. They could even have more female directors, but they do have, I mean, if you look at feature films, how many, there's hardly any female directors in feature films. When one gets nominated, it's like,
And I mean, I can't remember the woman, the first woman, Catherine something years ago. I mean, not that, it wasn't that long ago. And she was like the first woman ever to win best director.
That's right. Because they have Christy Will Wolfe, they have Lee Friedlander, they have a number of female directors, but they have tons of female writers. And like, your very first movie you ever covered on your podcast is was Julie Sherman Wolfe was the writer, Marry Me at Christmas. And she's the best. She didn't have a movie this Christmas season, or I think this year on Hallmark. I don't think she had a movie this whole year, but she's always makes whatever she's doing funny. She's such a funny writer. And like, she did Finding Santa last year, which was a kind of a not great plot, but I thought that her script was really funny, and with like her outsider zombies some other stuff. Anyway, and so, and Nina Weinman is a great writer. Tracy Ann Dream did It's Christmas Eve. Marcy Holland, she's great. There's quite a few really awesome Hallmark writers. Terry Wilson is wonderful. So that makes me happy. I think that's cool. And I mean, some of my favorites, I do love Jen Lilly. She's wonderful. I think that you can almost always count on, you know, Luke McFarlane's movies are always good. He's just a dream. I for the most part think that Candace chooses pretty good projects. She hasn't really been in a movie that I thought was terrible.
I feel like she must get to exercise a lot of control over, you know, whatever
for she is. I really do like Autumn Reeser. I think she usually elevates whenever she's in.
I think she's back, but she was on the OC back in the day. And she's just, she's just a very interesting actress generally. We like Alicia Witt a lot. She she makes such interesting acting choices. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just like, you kind of don't know what to expect with her line readings or whatever, but I mean, it just keeps us interested. Yeah.
She brings the funny into the roles. But it was so weird this year, the Honeysuckle Lane movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was really weird because you have Colin Ferguson, who's hilarious, and you have Alicia Witt, who's funny, in this kind of sad movie.
Yeah.
That, I mean, they did what they could with it, but I was just like, what on earth is the casting director thinking? Like, of all the, like, it was just really odd. Like, I feel like they should have swapped that. If you had Alicia Witt in the Mistletoe, Pride and Prejudice and Mistletoe movie, that would have made that movie infinitely better. And you could have Lacey in the sweet family drama.
Right. That makes sense. It definitely makes sense.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. But I agree. I think Alicia is really good, and she makes it really funny.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sort of that we've gotten to know on the podcast that other people probably, you know, miss or don't really, but like someone like Giles Panton, who was in 5 Christmas movies this season.
Oh.
So charismatic and so fun.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, we loved Casey Manderson, who often plays the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was her like assistant in Mingle All the Way.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to interview Sandy Sadu this summer, and she was the best. And she got to, her and Casey Manderson got to be a couple in Mingle All the Way. We were so excited.
Yeah,
they're two favorites. This is so fun.
And I do love it because there are so many, and I guess that maybe it's because they film so much in Canada, but there are so many recurring actors and actresses, and you have to, like, you know, it's come to you have to figure out like, oh, where did I see them from or whatever. But they, I mean, they're all great, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. They've got a really nice crop of actors up there. There's really nobody that I mean, I'm not the biggest Jack Wagner fan, but he can be serviceable. Like, it's just the Wedding March movies that are bonkers.
I love the wedding. So that's the only way that we will come back with a podcast in the middle of the year that's different than the Wedding March movie. I could watch that. I wish that was a series. I could watch those all the time. They're great. So did you watch the one from this year?
Oh, we did. And podcast both of them. And they were very entertaining to podcast about because I was just like, a promise ring? Like, how can like, you're a grown adult. Like, you're like, what are you, like 50? Like, whoa.
Yeah. And there was just like the thing where he walked the young woman down the aisle at the end of it. Like, I loved it. I loved it.
So yeah, it was so insane. I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I just thinking like, oh, like, it's like some kind of bet.
Yeah.
Like, you are like, what is going on? Like, why are they like, just get married? Like,
yes. Why are they stretching it out? You know, I mean, or are they, we talked about that a lot on both of them. Just like, it's fine to not get married, but just say like,
Right.
We don't care. We don't want to be married. But they're just like, they seem to want to move toward marriage, but it's the world's slowest march, if you will. Like, it's just
so
like,
slow.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because, like, if we're supposed to believe in Hallmark chastity, that these people are not, like,
right.
I mean, they're like, supposedly they're not even like boyfriend and girlfriend yet. They are. It's so bonkers. It's completely insane. And you're like, I personally am somebody who believes in chastity before marriage, so I support that, but like, it has to be at a certain point. It's just ridiculous. Like,
and so
get married. Well, like, you would want to get married, like, if you're not, like,
right,
or like, make it a dress that you're like, it was so weird to me that she was so judgmental of her daughter for going out with the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? Like,
it was like, I don't know why we think this, but for some reason, like, we have convinced ourselves that they are just like the only two people in the Hallmark universe that like live together but aren't like married. Like, for some reason, I'm like, maybe Hallmark is just like implicitly applying this, because like, no one would believe, I don't think. Like, these two are, like, living, like, have separate bedrooms and separate homes. So, I don't know. That's kind of...
It defies logic. Like, right. It's not... It does not make sense. And, you know, another one where they kind of implied that they were living together, I felt like, was reunited at Christmas. What did you think of that this year? Did you get to see that?
Refresh
that
me
on that.
That
was the one with Nikki DeLoach when she gets, it was really unique because she gets proposed to at the beginning of the movie by her boyfriend, and she's like very terrified of marriage, which is like, you rarely, I've never seen that in a Hallmark movie where someone is like, I mean, aside from Jen Lilly, like literally running down the aisle.
is that the one where she like has three different weddings?
No, that's the Jen Lilly one. No, the reunited at Christmas one. So they're like, they've dating for a while. They agreed that they don't want to get married. But then he thinks, oh, she'll like it if I surprise her with a proposal. So she had, I guess, been left at the altar or something like that. And so
right.
he surprises her with a proposal. And she's like, why would you do this? We were fine the way we were.
Right.
And he was like, I thought you'd be happy that I surprised you. I was like, this is a dynamic that is very rare. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I do remember it now. I just took.
Yeah, I know. They all meshed together.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like there celebrating her, her grandmother passing, like her, in remembrance of her grandmother, and her parents were divorced. So that was kind of a different dynamic too. And I don't know. I just thought that one was an interesting one. Amongst all of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. That's true. So I don't know. I guess they had a lot of sameness this year. Let's be real, but yes. There were a few moments where
right. There were some moments that jumped out for sure.
That they tried different things, and so it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, my biggest advice I would say is to just have a little whimsy, have a couple movies where they wake up in an Irish Christmas village, like do a couple things that are bonkers. Like, you know, I mean, I did really enjoy Shoe Addicts. I thought it was super fun. But do a little more like that. Just a couple. You got 38 movies. Let's
spice it up. That one was fun. We really enjoyed that one. We enjoyed and were mystified by A God Went Christmas. and people listen to our podcast know that we're not particularly religious, but it wasn't even really that. It's just like we felt like what a God wink was not consistent. Like, it was just, we couldn't, I don't know, we couldn't frame it, but it was a very fun watch. Like, I still, we still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was like God magic. Like, that's very rare.
Yes.
But I thought it was really sweet. I mean, I love those two actors. Paul Campbell, Kimberly Sussed are great. The books, I tried to read as many of the books going into the season as I could.
Oh, wow.
The book, God Winks, is kind of like Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's just like little sort of inspiration. They're not like actually super religious. They're just kind of like little daily sort of miracles in your life where like things work out and you know, trials and you meet the right person at the right time and you know that you're doubting, should I make this choice, and you take the risk and things come into place that happens in life. That's kind of the idea behind it, is more like we call it in our church, we call it tender mercies of the spirit. Kind of the sort of the idea is like that like little moments in life where you can be like, oh, maybe he is paying attention to me, as opposed to like big moments of trial. It's sort of maybe easier.
It's the little things.
Right. Yeah. It's like these little moments where it's like, I really needed to meet that person at that time to boost my spirits, to have that conversation. Yeah. That's kind of the idea. And I agree. They could have kind of explained that a little bit more. Of what kind of a God wink is. And maybe that was a little bit of a flaw in the cat. Maybe the Kathleen Gifford character could have kind of fleshed that out a little bit more.
I think that's true.
But, but it did have some really cute moments. And the fact it was based on a true story was just kind of fun.
Yeah. And I liked what they did at the end where they showed like the pictures.
I think both of the ones based on true stories were pretty solid. I thought Once Upon a Christmas Miracle was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I vaguely remember that one.
That's the one with the liver transplant.
Oh, yeah. That one was good. I did enjoy that one.
Yeah. I would have, my only flaw with that movie is I just felt like he was kind of a manic pixie dream guy.
Oh,
like he was perfect. He never had a moment of doubt, never had a moment of struggle. And it would have been just a little bit better if he had, if he'd grown a little more as a character. But I still enjoyed it. I thought it was
great.
So anyway, there were some interesting things this season, and you know, I'm actually looking forward to Winterfest, believe it or not. You're diving right in.
Godspeed to you. That's all I gotta say. Godspeed to you.
So are you guys going to be done until next Christmas? Or
yeah, I think so. I mean, unless there's again, if there's a wedding March movie, the whole thing is, you know, the whole thing's off. I'm coming back for that. But otherwise, I think we're not doing it this year until Christmas. Although you and like I don't watch Hallmark content really except for the podcast, but I have enjoyed so much the Wind Calls the Heart specials that I may actually start watching that show.
I can't
believe it, but it's just, I'm like, you know, I'm genuinely enjoying sitting here watching this.
And you know, I actually think you would like The Good Witch, just knowing your personality.
Yeah,
especially because it's just like got a tiny bit of an edge, just like a little bit. Catherine Disher makes everything better. She's so funny as the mayor. I don't know. I just have a hunch that you might like it. It's definitely our favorite of the three shows.
Okay.
Podcasting about Chesapeake Shores just about killed me. It just about ruined me. It was not for me. But yeah, Wind Calls the Heart, it's very sweet. And it's going to be after the tsunami that was Jack's death last year. It's going to be interesting to see. I really liked the Christmas movie. It was really good, I thought.
It was fun about what we did on the podcast for that is that, so Rob was basically off the podcast after the whole thing. But we had this idea that like the Wind Calls the Heart movies are so weird for us to do anyway, because we don't watch it during the year. So we've got to like piece all this stuff together. And so we had this idea for that one that like Rob would not be in the room even to like hear any of it. And then I explained to him for the podcast.
Yeah. I listened to it. It was good.
And it was really, it was really fun. But I mean, it's just the reason it's like a fun watch for me is sort of the bonkers stuff. Like there's like a wagon full of orphans. That was great. The period clothes, like they're either like, you can tell they're sort of on point, or they're wearing like an LL Bean jacket. Like it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's fun to watch and like,
and having their hair down, and which they would never have back then and things like that. But I think particularly Rosemary is just my favorite. She's so funny. Pascal brings the funny to that role.
I like her too.
Yeah. And it's overall, an enjoyable thing. You know, if you want to watch escapism, it's like classic escapism.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you watch soap operas and you're like, wow, that's a really unrealistic hospital. They're not very accurate. Like you're just watching it.
Right. You just dig into it. I will say that we watched one of the, and I don't think it's a regular show. I guess it's just specials. One of the Murder She Baked.
Yeah.
We watched one of those last year and I wanted to like that more than I did. I like Allison Sweeney. I thought it was fine, but I think it needed to be like a little more off the wall than it was.
A little more juicy.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, I took a while to warm up to the mysteries because a lot of them can be kind of boring for me. Mm-hmm. I really just liked I wasn't a big fan of the Haley Dean set. Mm-hmm. The Darrow and Darrow, I'd recommend. They're really good. And Tom Cavanaugh and Kimberly Williams Paisley have very great chemistry. There it's kind of more of a courtroom drama versus a detective show, really. And I love courtroom dramas. And I recommend that one. That one, all three of them have been a lot of fun. Yeah. And I actually think the Grassdale Mysteries are really good.
Okay.
Yeah. They're, if you like kind of Murder, She Wrote kind of
yeah.
that kind of thing, then they are, in my opinion, the best executed of any of the mystery shows. Because some yeah. of them, it's just like at least makes a little bit of sense mm-hmm. why she, because she, you know, is at estate sales and different stuff like that. And she ends up getting, whereas like some of them, you're like, there's one with Holly Robinson Pete where she is a, she's a chef on a morning television. You're like, why are you investigating crime? Like, what?
Right.
What's going on? But yeah, I don't know. It's sort of a weird little part of Hallmark. Mm-hmm. Like, we do super, you know, sweet romantic comedies, and we do murder mysteries.
Yeah.
Combination, but I don't know. I'm warming up to. I'm really looking forward to Taylor Cole's because I like her so much. And now I'm looking forward to her new series that she's starting in mm-hmm. January. There's one, it's called the Ruby Herring Mysteries, and that's going to be a whole new series. So that should be fun.
Interesting.
And she plays an investigative reporter, which makes
a lot of sense. That does sound fun.
Yeah, it sounds really good. And Stephen Huszar, who's very dreamy, is mm-hmm. the detective who puts up with her. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I've just been so impressed with Hallmark this year, as far as they know what they are, and they for the most part executed well. I mean, I think that last year had better highs. There were like Miss Christmas, I just absolutely adored, things like that. But there wasn't a movie. I just sort of joke that there were a couple movies last year that took me to a dark place that I just hated. That was so awful.
Right.
And there wasn't really anything that I thought was just awful this year.
Yeah.
There was a lot that was just kind of, but.
Yeah. There's a lot of meh. Like there was just a lot of like bland, but there were like very few movies that I were just like, this is horrible.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm just very impressed with them. I'm impressed with all the talent that I've gotten to meet have been just the nicest people that you can ever imagine. And all the experiences that I've heard, I mean, yeah, maybe they're not going to go on some podcast and be like, oh, it was terrible working for this company. But like, I don't know. I just, every experience that I've heard about the company and working for Hallmark has just been so overwhelmingly positive. Mm-hmm. And I, even things like Ashley Williams talking about how she was able to breastfeed her baby in between takes and stuff, like that's the kind of thing, you know, when you're hearing in this world of Me Too, where all these actresses are talking about how terrible they were treated, whatever, like I'm just so I guess proud if I'm going to do a podcast about something, because even Disney has gotten flack, you know, which I love Disney. I'm just proud to, you know, be covering a network that just seems to be making a lot of really great choices and making content for women, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Anyway, well, this has been so much fun to talk with you. I really appreciate it. And, we'll definitely, we'll have to have you on. We'll get you watching a couple of them and have you on as a guest. That would be fun.
That would be great. I like being in the guest seat. So that's fun for me. And thank you for having me on. It's really fun to like be on like and talk, like you said, like talk with other people who are doing the same thing. Like they understand like, you know, the content, and they understand like podcasting, and it's, you know, it's fun just to have like a back and forth about that stuff.
So. It really is. And so why don't you tell people, just remind them about your podcast, how can they follow you on social media, all that fun stuff?
Sure. So we don't have any dedicated social media to the podcast, but people can find me on Twitter at Lori Stark, LoreeStark. Rob at Rob Bricken, RobBricken. I do try to do a fun thing on Instagram, which is where I take like sort of what I think are the funniest or the best kind of like screenshots from each of the movies. And then I like share them on there with like a just tiny little blurb. And I actually, we've really started like, that's where we get our most interaction with people is from Instagram, which I think is so interesting. But they can find me on Instagram at Lori_Stark. So
Great. Well, I will put all of that in the description section. People can check it out. And make sure you guys are following the podcast, Hallmark's Pod, all over social media. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews all over. I've just been this week was just added as a reviewer for Rotten Tomatoes, which is just blowing my mind. But you can check all that out for Rachel's reviews. And we are this week for the podcast, we are doing our top 10. Amy Lynn Craig and the Hallmark hubby, Sam, is joining us to give our top 10s of the season. And that's really fun. You guys are going to love that one. And so just check that out. And let us know what you think and what you saw as trends. Let us know either in the comments section or on Twitter what you thought about what we talked about. I'd love to hear your feedback. And thanks so much, Lori. This was really, really fun.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we will talk again soon.
Yep.
Bye.